Today's passage is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 25. Every priest stands every day serving and offering the same sacrifices over and over, sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when this priest offered one sacrifice for sins of all time, he sat down at the right side of God. Since then, he's waiting until his enemies are made into a footstool for his feet, because he perfected the people who are being made holy with one offering for all time. The Holy Spirit affirms this when saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them. After these days, said the Lord, I will place my laws in their hearts and write them on their minds. And I won't remember their sins and their lawless behavior anymore." When there is forgiveness for these things, there is no longer an offering for sin. Brothers and sisters, we have confidence that we can enter the Holy of Holies by means of Jesus' blood, through a new and living way that he opened up for us through the curtain, which is his body. And we have a great high priest over God's house. Therefore, let's draw near with a genuine heart, with the certainty that our faith gives us, since our hearts are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies are washed with pure water. Let's hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, because the one who made the promises is reliable. And let us consider each other carefully for the purpose of sparking love and good deeds. Don't stop meeting together with other believers, which some people have gotten into the habit of doing. Instead, encourage each other, especially as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord.
So if you've ever been down San Diego way on the 5 freeway when the balloons are rising up there over Carlsbad, you know what an awesome sight that can be. These huge balloons, these behemoths, they rise up into the air there and they sort of float gracefully above the lagoon there near the Pacific. They're multicolored balloons, those multicolored bodies just standing out against the blue. They seem to just glide there, just hang there. People who fly in those balloons, they can really get addicted to it, really hooked on it, because it's just such an incredible feeling. They describe it as being one with the atmosphere, sort of part of the breeze. They know that they're going high. They know that they're moving, but there's no sense of speed, and everything is just completely silent. Just being there on a pillow of air. As beautiful and as soothing as that balloon ride can be, you know, the preparation for it is pretty rigorous. The crews get out there before dawn at the launching field and they lay out these huge deflated balloons that are made out of this heavy, heavy nylon. And they take the wicker basket that will keep the passengers, that'll hold the passengers. And on top of each of those baskets is mounted this huge burner, two of them, that shoot flames. And they lay those baskets on their side and they shoot flames into the mouth of that balloon at the same time that they're blowing with huge fans all this air inside the balloon. And as that air heats up from that flame shooting inside, begins to quiver, begins to come to life. And the balloon begins to rise up. And then it begins to reach up towards the heavens. And as it does, it pulls that basket straight up on its end. And those cannons of flame keep shooting the fire inside as the people get inside the basket. And as that air inside heats up and expands, man, that balloon just starts to shake. It starts to pull on its tethers. It can't wait to be released. It can't wait to go up into the sky, up into the sky where it belongs. To gracefully be in that sky, thrilling the people that are in the basket, thrilling them, and sparking even the imagination and the wonder of those who are on the ground. It's a beautiful thing. Imagine, though, what it would be like after all that preparation, after laying out that big balloon and shooting the flames inside and getting the air heated up and getting that thing stood up and everybody getting in and having it quivering and ready to go. But it just stays tethered to the ground all day. People in the basket, they know that with a word or an action, they can untether that balloon and take off, soar. But they don't do it. They just stare at the ground all day. Now, that scene is not likely to really happen at any balloon launching site. But sometimes it's a kind of an apt picture of the way that we live our Christian lives. God wants nothing more for us but to soar on the wind of the Holy Spirit, to soar, to be thrilling to what He has for us, to be seeing the world the way He sees it. He wants nothing more but for us to do that. But sometimes we remain tethered to the ground. We remain tethered to the ground with old regrets, stuff that's happened in the past. We remain tethered to the ground with old grudges that we hold, tethered to the ground. And it's such a shame because all of the conditions are in place for us to have a beautiful ride, to have a beautiful ride. The cost of the ride has even been paid for us by Jesus. All we have to do is untether the ropes. This passage that we heard today, it really asks us to recall a time back in Old Testament times, a time when the people of God had been really unfaithful to Him. They were super unfaithful to God. They were sinning and sinning in such a terrible kind of way that God felt it was necessary to let the people just go their own way, just go their own way. God knew that the actions of the people were leading them to a place where they were open and vulnerable to invasion from another country, where they would be taken, as all people, defeated people were, taken away into slavery in that other country. He knew all this was going to happen if they didn't change their ways. He sent prophets to them to say, look, you've got to change, you've got to turn back, you've got to open yourselves up to God, or these things will happen. God was angry and frustrated with His people because He loved them and He did not want them to be harmed. God was angry and frustrated with His people the way that we parents can sometimes be angry and frustrated with our children when we know that their actions are undermining their potential, what they can really be. But the people were stubborn. And God does not force people to love Him. God does not force people to obey Him. And so God let them go on their way. And they were invaded by the Babylonians. They were taken into captivity. And there was a long, long period of suffering. But get this, even during that period of suffering, God never left them. He never left them. He stayed faithful to them. Stayed faithful. Even in their suffering, God sent prophets, people to come to assure them that one day even that would pass. One day they would be able to return. One day they would be united again with God. And Scripture says that God sent a prophet to them to tell them that one day he would enter into a new covenant with them, a new agreement, a new understanding between God and his people. And it was this. After these times, the Lord said, I will place my laws on your heart. I will write them in your minds. I won't remember your sins and your lawless behavior anymore. A time would come when if we listen in faith, we would hear his voice. Time would come when we wouldn't have to hold on to the past anymore because our sins were forgiven. Friends, that time has come. That time has been here since the time that Jesus Christ came on this earth and gave himself for us. The time is here. Jesus came, you know. He came to free us from our sin. But up until that time, between that time and the time that Jesus came, priests would offer sacrifices at the temple to remind the people of their sin. And as our scripture said today, over and over, day after day, year after year, the priest would stand there and he would give the sacrifice, present the sacrifice over and over again. But there was nothing in that sacrifice that could really wipe out the debt, that could really remove the sin. The sacrificial system, it was a little bit like taking money from a credit card over here and putting it on the minimum payment over here on another credit card. You could do that till doomsday, but you're always going to be under the burden of that debt. There was no way to be free. But then Jesus came. And when Jesus came, it was as though he took all of the debt, all the credit card debt in the whole world, and he took it onto himself. He made it his own. And then he paid for it. Paid for it with everything he had. He paid for it with his life. And then he tore up any record of there ever being any debt. And then he closed the bank. Jesus came. And he took on all the roles. The priest, the sacrifice, the debtor, and the bank. And then he said, it's done. Those of you who believe in me, it's done. Go. You're free. Go. Go out there. Go out to this field. And there is a big balloon out there. And it's got your name on it. Untether it and be free. Be free. Well, this message of freedom, you know, it was told to the people who first heard that letter from the Hebrews that we just read. Those first century people, they knew all of this, but they had a hard time untethering themselves. They remembered that sacrificial system. They remembered all of that. And they heard the story of Jesus. They knew it. They knew that he had risen from the dead. They knew that he had come as forgiveness for their sins, but they couldn't quite believe it. Some of them wanted to stay with the sacrificial thing too, just, you know, in case, just to kind of hedge the bet. They couldn't quite believe that they were free. And listen, I think that sometimes we can't really believe it ourselves. We don't really believe it. Oh, we believe, you know, that Jesus has come and paid for our sins, and because of that, we're going to be good with God. We're going to go to heaven when we die. But sometimes we don't live like we believe that now. We don't live that way now. We don't live with that sense of being free from our past, free from our grudges. Sometimes we believe that maybe our sin, you know, is so bad. Our particular sin is so bad that, you know, Jesus' sacrifice maybe wasn't enough. Ours is so bad that we need to keep feeling guilty over and over and over again, like those sacrifices. We need to stay with that guilt for a little while. Sometimes we think our sin, our particular sin, is so bad. You know, the stuff that we did was so bad that we just need to be miserable just a little bit longer. We need to really punish ourselves just a little bit more. So we hang on to that, you know, we hang on to that. We don't live as forgiven people. Sometimes we don't live as forgiven people because we really don't want that record to be torn up. We want to hang on to that record because the record of our sin also contains the record of the sins that were done against us. And we don't want to let those go. We want to look at that record and say, oh, yes, Lord, yes, I was really angry that day. That's the day that I got so angry. I threw that person out of my life, whatever it is. But look what he did to me. Look at what he did to me to make me do that, Lord. No, I'm hanging on to that. I'm not letting that go. I'll never forgive him for that. We don't want to tear up the record. It's cool if our record is torn up, but we don't want to let go. So we stay tied down. We don't really embrace that forgiveness. And we don't really give that forgiveness to others. Holding on to our past sins. Holding on to that regret because we believe that our sin is so bad we need to be punished. Or holding on to the sins of others done against us because we believe they were so bad that they need to be punished by us. All of that stuff prevents us from really grabbing onto the life that God wants to have for us, that joy of being free. Prevents us from doing that. You know, there are plenty of things to worry about in this world. There are plenty of things out there, as we've seen recently, as we've seen this past weekend. There are plenty of things to really be concerned about. It's worthwhile considering whether or not we, as a people, for many generations now, maybe in one of those periods where God is kind of letting us do our own thing. Whether or not we're really listening to him. There are real serious things that we should be considering, that we should be worrying, but you know, our past sins and the sins of others against us, our petty grudges, those are not on the list of things that we really should be concerned about. In these days, I will place my laws, my ways, on their hearts. I'll write them on their minds. And I won't remember their sins and their lawless behavior anymore. Through Jesus, we're given the opportunity for our sins of the past to be forgiven, and any stumble or mistake we might make in the future to be forgiven. We're also, by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the power of that covenant, we're given the ability to fight sin in our lives, to fight evil where we see it. We're given the ability to accept His forgiveness and be a forgiving people. Be a forgiving people. As we move into the presence of God, you know, in Old Testament times, there was a room in the temple. It was called the Holy of Holies. It was a room. And inside that room, there was the big box, the Ark of the Covenant, this huge box that was gilt with gold. And inside the box was the tablets, the stone tablets that contained the Ten Commandments and other sacred objects in that box. In that room, it was thought that God's presence was especially powerful, that God was there, that He dwelt there. And so the only person that could go in that room was the high priest. That room was separated from all of the rest of the temple by a heavy curtain. And symbolically, it symbolized the separation between a holy God and His unholy people. When Jesus died, Scripture says, when Jesus died, when He breathed His last on that cross and He paid that debt for all of us, at that moment, that curtain was torn in two, symbolizing for us, those who believe, access to God. Or as the writer of Hebrews said, Jesus Himself was an open door, a door to God. He is our open door. You know, church is a lot of things. But I think one of the most glorious things that we can strive to be, that we can hope to be, is an open door to each other. That when we come into this place, when we see each other, we act as a reminder by the way that we love each other, by the way we respect each other, by the way we forgive each other, that we are a reminder of that great open door in Christ. That great open door through which we can go and find that joy and that peace. When we come through that open door, we ought to find the open door of Jesus. And through that door we can go, leaving all of our baggage behind, leaving all of our regrets behind, leaving all of those things that tether us down to the ground, leaving it all behind, and going out to that beautiful field where there is a huge, multicolored, beautiful, gorgeous, quivering with the Holy Spirit balloon with our name on it, and we can get inside it with our friend Jesus, with our Father, who we can now come into communion with, untether it and take off every day, living as His forgiven people, as His forgiving people, living that life that He wants for us of freedom and joy with Him up there where we belong. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I want to enter that balloon. I want to be with you. I want, oh Jesus, to let all of my regrets be behind me. I, dear Jesus, want to let all of my baggage, all of that stuff that I believe I need to have to weigh me down, I want it to be gone, Jesus. I want you to take it. I know, Jesus, you've paid for it. So take it. Help me, oh God, day after day, live as a forgiven person. And let me, oh God, be a forgiving person in your name. Help me by the power of your Holy Spirit where I am unable. I give myself to you this day, dear Jesus. Take me. In your name, amen. That is a mercy, my friends. That is a mercy that God gives to us today. And that mercy extends all over. There's a wideness to God's mercy. It's a mercy, dear people, that we are forgiven. Let's rise up this morning, and let's take a look at that final hymn today. That there is a wideness in God's mercy. A wideness in God's mercy.